May we say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Welcome to our evening service as we continue our study through the Gospel of John. We tonight begin our last chapter in the Gospel of John, John chapter 21, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 14, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. If you haven't brought your Bible tonight in the Pew Bible, this will be found on page 907, John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. This is God's holy and inerrant word. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to understand this word, that you would set it deeply into our hearts. We would begin to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we now pray. Amen. As I and the other pastors here have been studying this Gospel of John, it seems to me that a proper expectation would be that John would end his book at the end of chapter 20. In the last two verses of that chapter, John, after all, has given us the reason why he wrote the entire Gospel. Look at verses 30 and 31 of chapter 20. John writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." He wrote there that he told of the signs and miracles of Jesus so that people might believe, that they might put their faith and trust in Christ, and that they might have eternal life. Exclamation point. End of the Gospel. No, indeed. There's another chapter. And why is that? Why is there this chapter 21? Well, John pens chapter 21 to tell us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Gospel is not only about salvation, It's not only about having peace with God. It's about serving Him. It's about being His disciple. Chapter 20 is not the end. It's only the beginning. And John does this by taking some of the disciples back to familiar territory. Here at the end of the book, John will remind the disciples of their early days with Jesus and their first call to discipleship. Now, I want to look at this text, chapter 21, 1 through 14, in three parts. Part 1, for those of you taking notes, would be verses 1 through 3, title it The Return to Galilee. The second part, verses 4 through 8, the return to the true vocation. And part 3, verses 9 through 14, the return to the living Christ in service. The return to the living Christ in service. Let's begin by looking at point number 1, verses 1 through 3, which I titled The Return to Galilee. Now look at verse 1. It says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way." Now that verse begins with the words, "After this." And you have to say, well, after what? After this, after these things that have happened. In other words, after all that has happened, after the 3 years that they were with Jesus, after the Passover, after the trial and crucifixion of Christ, after his resurrection and his appearance to some of the disciples, after all of that, some of the disciples have returned to the Sea of Tiberias. That is another name for the Sea of Galilee. They've gone home. They've come home. Jesus had told them through Mary Magdalene that he would show himself to them in Galilee. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 16, verse 7, when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the garden, he says this, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So now they're back. Here the book of John is ending next to the Sea of Galilee where it all began. It's along this lakeside that Jesus first made himself known to them. It was here when Jesus was, Mark chapter 1 says, Jesus was passing along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Here they are, back there again at the Sea of Galilee. And we see in verse 2 that some of the disciples are gathered. Look what it says. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other of his disciples were together. Two unnamed disciples. We don't know who they were. And in this story, these disciples, they appear to be marking time. They're unsure of what to do. Jesus said he would appear to them, but they're like they're confused again, as the disciples are throughout this the entire Gospels. Perhaps they're still reeling from what happened in Jerusalem. It's almost as if they are asking one another, "What do we do now? Here we are at the Sea of Galilee. What do we do now?" It reminds me of when I was a boy on Saturdays. My mother pushed me out of the house all day long. And she said, "You want something to drink? You can drink out of the hose." I know that's a bad thing today. I'm still okay. My third ear is just fine. Thank you. We neighborhood boys would sit on the curb and we'd say, "So, what do you want to do?" "I don't know. What do you want to do?" And they'd go on and on and on. Of course, we'd go play baseball. But that was it. So that's kind of what they're doing here. They're sitting here looking at each other. What now? What now? What do we do? And what do we see Peter say in verse 3? Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Now, we need to be careful here. This is not like I had a friend in Mississippi who, when he got into any type of conflict with his wife or his children or anyone at work, he'd go, I'm going fishing. He was getting away. He was going to go throw the rod. But no, Peter is not saying he's going fishing for relaxation or sport or to get his mind off things. No, remember, fishing is how Peter used to make his living. I'm going fishing. He's taking up his old vocation. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do at this point now that Jesus is gone. So what's he going to do? He's going to return to his former life. I'm going back to fishing, is what he's saying. D.A. Carson, who's looking at this text, he says the following: this fishing expedition and the dialogue that ensues does not read like the lives of men on a spirit-empowered mission. No, indeed, they're not on a spirit-powered mission. They're simply returning to their former occupation. As Yogi Berra said, this is deja vu all over again. Going back to fishing. I know Dr. Barclay picks the hymns we sing. I thought when he looked at that title, he was going to go, I have no idea what hymn to pick to go with that sermon. Indeed, it's deja vu all over again. And what happens? Look at verse 3. They said to him, we'll go with you. So they're going back to their occupation. They went out. They got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. They caught nothing. What an utter disappointment. The disciples were not even successful in this former occupation that they knew so well. They were trained in that. They knew how to fish, but they caught nothing. These are men who are adrift with no purpose. They failed even in fishing. This is almost adding despair on top of despair. They left their nets to follow Jesus. Now they return to their nets and their nets are empty. What do we do? Who are we? They're adrift. Returning home. My second point is a return to the true vocation. Verses 4 through 8. Note what happens. Verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. The sun is coming up in the east and Jesus is standing on the shore of the sea. The disciples don't recognize him. Of course, this is the risen Christ. He, in his Easter transcendent glory. You can go back a chapter and see that Easter transcendent glory of Christ in chapter 20, verse 14. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus standing before her. Look what it says. She turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. They didn't know it was him standing there. In any event, verse 5, we read, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. So here's this Jesus hails him. The disciples are addressed by a stranger on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he asks them if they had caught any fish. And they answer, it's almost a curt reply, no. Did you catch any fish? No. We've been fishermen all our lives, but we couldn't catch a fish all night long. Then we read the story unfolds, verses 6 and 8. In particular, the stranger on the shore tells the disciples in verse 6, he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. In verse 8, the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Jesus tells them to cast their net on the right side of the boat, and if they do that, they will catch fish. And did they ever? The haul was so great that they couldn't draw it into the ship, and an incredible catch of fish. There are so many fish that the disciples have to tow the net to shore. It's a distance of about 300 feet. They have to tow it to shore. Now, as I was looking at that and studying that and trying to understand what was going on here, I was asking the question, what is the purpose of this miracle by the risen Christ? What is the purpose of this miracle by the risen Christ? Was it merely a witness to who it was standing there on the seashore? Is that all it was? I think that's partially true. That's part of the reason, because we see in verse 7, about the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John. It says, that disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it's the Lord. John understood. He saw it. It's the Lord. But is that it? Not the only reason he did this particular miracle? So that they would know that it was Jesus? I don't think so. Because truly, and I want you to really, this is the main point of this entire sermon. I want you to really understand that this is that the scene before us this evening, we have seen before. We have seen this before. I want you to turn in your Bibles back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read the entire section here, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And as I read this account, I want you to take note. You can write it down or you can just think it through. Take note of the many similarities between this story in Luke 5 and John chapter 21. Okay, let me read this. Luke 5, 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You see the similarities. Here in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is standing by the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, including Peter and James and John, have toiled all night in fishing and they've caught nothing. Jesus tells them, put out your nets again. And then they have this incredible catch of fish, and Peter responds by falling on his knees before Christ. Whereas in John, we see Peter throws himself into the sea to swim to Christ. It's the same thing. Now, why that comparison? Why those two stories? Well, the context of Luke's description of the great catch of fish is when Jesus is calling his first disciples. And he says to them, as I tried to point out to you at the very end of that episode, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And now we see the repetition of the great catch of fish at the very end of the Gospel of John. It's to remind the disciples of that earlier event. Christ has called them to be fishers of men and not fishermen. Fishing in the Sea of Galilee is no longer their occupation. They're not to go back to it. There's nothing there for them. They now have another service. They are to serve their King by going to the world and proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first call, the disciples are summoned by the incarnate Christ to be fishers of men, and now they have a second call by the risen Christ to be fishers of men. Their discipleship duty is not over. It's just beginning. This story is a reminder of what their service is now, that they are all disciples of Christ Jesus, fishers of men. What we see in this account is true, I believe, in one sense, for all followers of Christ. We are not to go back to our former lives and our former lifestyles. We're not to return to the old man. Everything has changed for the disciple of Christ. One is now a new creature in Christ, a new man in Christ Jesus. We are now servants in the servanthood of Christ our King. That's the definition of being a disciple. We are followers of and in full service to our King. There is no going back. There is no going back. And thirdly, Jesus reminds them of their call to service as Jesus serves them. Did you see that in verses 9 through 14? Jesus serves them. Remember in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus teaches his disciples that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Ever the servant is Jesus. Here is the risen Christ serving a meal to his disciples. The Christ of Easter serving his disciples. Look at verse 13. Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them. And so with the fish. Here's the resurrected Christ, a servant on earth even to the end. His service didn't end at the cross. His service is forever and ever. Amen. A servant on earth, even to the end. An example for his disciples to follow. It's not over. You're not going back. You're not going home. You're going to your true home. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does it look like to follow Christ? It's Christ. J.I. Packer defines servanthood as follows. Servanthood denotes a man who is not at his own disposal, but is his master's purchased property, bought to serve his master's needs, to be at his beck and call every moment. The slave's sole business is to do as he is told. What work does Christ set his servants to do? the way that they serve him, he tells them, is by becoming the slaves of their fellow servants and being willing to do literally anything, however costly, however irksome, however undignified, in order to help them. This is servanthood. It is love, as when Jesus played the servant and washed his disciples' feet. It is love as he now serves them on the beach at the Sea of Galilee, the risen Christ. The gospel is not over at the end of chapter 20. No, indeed. The work of the gospel is just beginning. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." No longer to be fishermen, but to be fishers of men. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, may we be reminded from this text that once a disciple of Christ, always a disciple of Christ. We serve him in this life. We don't serve ourselves. We don't go back to our old man. We don't go back to who we were. We strive for who we are, to serve our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is it that you serve? Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.